This is that one day of the year when the first reading is actually the primary reading. And in it, we find something very interesting, is that the last recorded words of the disciples speaking to Jesus is an unnamed disciple present at the ascension. It could be the 500 St. Paul talked about that saw him all at the same time, but whoever it was asked the wrong question. Here Jesus has been with them 3 years. He's risen from the dead. And what do they say to him? Okay, Lord, is it now time for you to overthrow the Romans? And he probably, as he looked up to his father, he probably said, take me now, Lord. It's like, and then he says to the same person, go to the whole world and tell the good news. The guy doesn't even have a clue what Jesus was there for. And the Holy Spirit then infuses the church. See, we can't do any good thing by ourselves. It always has to be God, really. It's just like the auction last night was wonderful, but if God isn't infusing what we do, what good is it, you know? Everything is meant to glorify God, not me. If I glorify me, it comes to nothing. If we glorify him, then everything is possible. And so what our Lord invites us to do in the ascension is to think in more than three dimensions. You know, we live in a world that cannot conceive of the world to come because we don't live in it. We can't grasp what it's like to live in eternity. The closest we can think of it is, you know, a lot of people are trying to do this in a secular way, and it's true. The Catholic Church has been doing this for almost since the church was legalized, and that is to try to live in the present moment, you know, the now, the sacrament of the present moment. Eternity is a present moment that never ends. There's no past or future in heaven. We're just always there. And that's, we can't really grasp that now. Christ went back to that kind of existence after living briefly in the temporal line that we all live in. So Christ ascends. Now we know from now that we are more aware of our surroundings, there's no up and down in space. Christ actually, he enters another dimension after they lose sight of him. But he promised, I will always be here. When we pray together in the scriptures, especially in the Eucharist, in others, people of need, in the coincidences of life, and many other ways, Christ is present, almost winking at us as a test, but we don't see him face to face. Even people who have visions like St. Paul, it's not the reality of his body, but a vision. So we too can ascend with Christ and from that vantage point see our lives more clearly than we can without him. The world sees only in this dimension, and in fact often misses the signs that there is something else. The thing that's always helped me the most is an image I read a long time ago. Some of you may have heard of this, called, somebody was trying to describe other dimensions. Deacon Ty and I talked quite a bit about the other dimensions that science has seems to explain physics. They've come up with something like 22 or 22 dimensions. It's almost certainly something more out there. Particles winking in and out of existence in outer space. They're coming from somewhere and so on. They're things that are entangled that go faster than the speed of light. But these dimensions, we can't grasp this. But if we conceive of the world like a flatlander, if I'm explaining this right, the flatlanders live in two dimensions, okay? They only know back and forth and this way and that way. They have no depth at all. All they know is this one line, which doesn't have an up and down in our imagination. What would happen if something intersected from a third dimension that they can't conceive of an up and down because they don't live in it? Their senses don't pick it up. So if you're coming in from the third dimension and intersect with that plane, it's going to show up as a circle or a square or a point of light. See? So when God, from his dimension, which we by definition cannot see yet, we don't have that ability to even really grasp it. We can mentally picture this, but it's always an image. But we're only going to see the effect in our temporal world, not the reality itself. That's where Christ went, into that dimension, that reality, which exists, but which we can only grasp in faith at the moment. But he'll take us to a point up there to get a better grasp of the world we're living in before we get there. And that's a real critical insight. When we look at Christ entering the world as a child or on the cross, these were moments on our own human existence when he lived in time. Outside of time, the cross lasts forever. It's a line that goes from eternity to eternity and briefly intersects with the world we live in. We live in a world with one event after the other. We have a forward and a backward, a past and a future. In this last week, we had confirmation for the kids, and we have our teenagers, and we have second first communion, and I've heard many confessions. You know, it's been a real workout, and probably hear some more Wednesday night. It'll be a long evening. And people that come there with very serious issues from the past, they can't go back and change it. It's gone. You know, we love to undo some of this stuff. We get older and realize it was more hurtful than we thought to others. And we begin to see things from their point of view and God's point of view. And there's an eternal vision. Seeing things from more than my point of view is already stepping outside of time. And in reconciliation, Christ goes to our mind back in time and stands in that place and says, I have forgiven you. You can't forget, but I can. I'm shielding you now, and this will work to your good because you've given it to me. Because to Christ, our lives exist all at once. To us, we have to go through time. We're still making choices. This is the mystery of life, is that we can't see the future because we're still creating it. I often tell young people, and this is how I became a priest, using an Ignatian exercise, visualize the person in the future that you're called to be, and then make the choices so that that person will exist. Because that person depends on your decisions now. At this age, I don't make 15-year plans in the future anymore. I can't say why. Living in the present moment is a much better way to live, actually. But Christ, while we're moving and all these things are happening in sequence, Christ sees the whole thing. And when we come before him on the last day, he'll show us our whole life from beginning to end, and we'll relive it all at once as if we were living it again. So Christ foresees the future, but isn't controlling it. We're in control of that in the sense that we're making decisions. It's a lot, you know, good for Mother's Day. It's, you know, the best way to conceive of this is that when parents, when they raise their children, you know, and then we have to let them go, we've raised beings with free will. Each of us is an eternal being in a temporal world. And they become adults who make their own decisions, and parents have to watch them make mistakes. They no longer listen, right? Sometimes, but the parents being on a higher level in the sense that we've lived longer can see what's coming, but they have to make their own choices and mistakes. And that's the way it is with God. He not only foresees what's coming, he knows what's coming. But still, we have to be able to make our own choices. That's what life is all about. So the ascension then invites us to see the cross in eternity, to see each decision we make and the consequences that last forever for ourselves and others. And our Lord points out, St. Paul in Ephesians talks about the gifts that he gives to us when he ascends to heaven. He said, who is he that ascended into heaven? Is it not the same one who for a little while descended to the lower regions of the earth? You know, in other words, where we live. And then when he ascended back to heaven, he gave gifts to the church. So the gifts that he lists, prophecy, evangelists, teachers, pastors, and something else, those are all gifts for the church. But each of us has been given gifts by God for the sake of the body, the church, for others. Many gave of themselves last week to make the auction work, for example. But there's just innumerable things you can point out in this church that people have done. And in your lives, parents making sacrifices for their children, that's a charism. We think about mothers today, for example, and we don't know the effects of our lives until it's over with. But Christ, the people of this world that don't have that vision, that have thrown out the scriptures, thrown out the rule book, thrown out any knowledge of the world because they don't recognize what these points of light really are, that they are an intersection of a world to come. And we are given that vision by God. And if you can see it, you can begin to see how God works things to good. I don't know how many times I've had this conversation with God. I said, I shouldn't say this. I had that shingle shot, you know, the one you have to be a certain age to get. If you don't know what age, I'm not telling you. But man, did I have a, I had a shoulder, I couldn't sleep for 2 days, you know. Turns out I sleep on the shoulder with the shot, who knew? And then I had a stiff neck and a horrible headache yesterday. I said, Lord, I got things to do. Take this away from me. And he said, you'll understand later. You can have it for a while. I did not like that answer. And you and I have this back and forth conversation all the time with God, don't we, over things? But when you look at life, looking back at it, it makes sense. I was talking to somebody here who's going to Middle East tomorrow, and they have a 10-hour layover in Newark, and I said, oh my God, you know, what a terrible thing. But when you look back at it, we learn something in each one of these things. And aren't we here to learn something? Isn't life a classroom? Aren't we here to grow? We're not here to have a good time. We do, but that's not the primary purpose. And when we see things from God's point of view, he says, well, I can't answer everything, but look at my cross. The cross beam extends through time. The upright beam extends into eternity, from the past to the future and in the present moment, and it lasts forever. There's no end to it. And we live on one beam of the cross, and Christ saves us with the other. And these, along with his wounds, they last forever. The beams of light going through those holes in his hands and his feet intersect with ours, and in it, we hold on to it as we ascend with him into heaven. We can't do it on our own. We must have a guide. We don't know where it is. We can't get there with these bodies. We live on the earth and we die here. Only God can show us what's coming. So the Ascension is a very optimistic feast day in which we realize that our Lord is speaking to us very deeply in our hearts about our personal mission, what life is about, the hope of that even the worst of our experiences will work to good in the end, because Christ's experience on earth, which wasn't very pleasant at the end, worked to eternal glory for him and for us. We thank God for his vision for our lives.